very nice to see so many people here. We haven't been able to have big gatherings of people, but here it is. We're honored to, we're rejoicing to be able to honor our beloved sister Barbara on her first death anniversary. She died on the morning of July 14, 2021. She was 86 years old. So today, then ito ang araw ng mabangluksa para kay Sister Barbara. It brings to a formal conclusion the year of mourning. Although I don't think we have really been mourning in the usual sense. We miss her, but not with grief. This year has been more of a time of adjusting to her being with us in a new way. In the communion of saints, we continue to enjoy her strong friendship. It seems appropriate to recall the traditional mourning process as observed in the Philippines, at least as I've learned it here. After the death and then the funeral, there's the ninth day, then there's the 40th day, then there's the birthday, if there's a birthday sometime in there, and then finally the babangluksa today. Let's go back to her final hours and the beautiful way in which the Lord called her home. Sister Barbara died on a Wednesday morning. That was Tuesday night in the States. There might be people joining us from the States online, so that for you it was Tuesday night. Anyway, many of us were around during the last stages of her earthly journey and can recall how she finished her race. She had been getting weak for several days, and we had been trying to figure out what was the cause. Maybe it was her medication, something was out of balance, maybe she had an infection. We didn't know. Because of her stroke, she wasn't speaking. For more than 2 years, she wasn't speaking. So it was not easy for us to know exactly what was her problem, if she had a problem. What did she need? We even consulted a geriatric specialist doctor, that's your daughter-in-law, and got, you know, we wanted to get some advice what to do, because it seemed she was slowing down and she wasn't eating. Sometimes she would take food and then the food would just sit in her mouth, she wouldn't chew it. We couldn't figure out what was happening. We didn't know she was actually dying. It didn't even occur to us. Anyway, by Wednesday morning, it was really clear that she had taken a turn for the worse, especially over that night. So early in the morning, her caregiver, Teresita, is Teresita here? Huh? Hola. Anyway, Teresita was with her, and she told us early that morning that Sister Barbara was having trouble breathing and that she had started to give her oxygen. And also early that morning, I think it was about 6:30 in the morning, I went there and I administered what we usually refer to as the last rites, sacrament of anointing of the sick and the absolution and the apostolic pardon. And then those of us who were there, there were a few of us who were there, we prayed the chaplet of divine mercy. And I remember after that, I called her brother Tom in the States to let him know that she was really getting weak. And then we had our regular Mass, 7:30 morning Mass. I remember we offered the Mass for the grace of a happy death. First time I ever used that Mass, for the grace of a happy death. Meanwhile, Sister Barbara's doctor friend, Dr. Chip, came, Dr. Chip, and she confirmed that she was failing. Doctora thought that perhaps Sister Barbara wouldn't even survive the whole day. Anyway, after the Mass, shortly after the Mass, I was summoned back into her room, and she was very clearly failing by that time. It was a very faint pulse. Her oxygen level was going down. And there were many of us crowded around by that time, and there were many people in the room and outside the room, just over there in that building. You know where she stayed. Of course, Sister Carol was there. Teresita was there. Mary Conn was there. Evelyn was there. The staff had come in to work, I suppose, or maybe they heard she was dying, so Rublin was there, Jenny was there, Evelinda, I think, was there, then Mila was there, Grace, I don't know who else. I think Jenilyn and Chloe and Samantha were there. And anyway, a lot of people. By that time, we were violating all the protocols for COVID because we weren't going to worry about spacing when we wanted to pray with our sister. And there were many people together, and we decided to pray again the chaplet of divine mercy. Evelyn was holding a phone, and she had this video connection with our Anuim House of Prayer in Corning, New York. So Angela, who's here tonight, was there. She was able to, she and many other Anuim members were able to gather for this moment of prayer. And it was, that's how it happened, by the amazing providence of God. Sister Barbara received the sacraments. She was surrounded by her Anuim family, both in the Philippines and in the States, and who were praying for her and with her. And that's how she entered very peacefully into the next life. It's quite a moment of grace. I can't forget it. And it was a moment of grace not only for her, but for all of us who were present. It's real treasure. And that's a treasure I recall today, and I think many of us recall today, because 1 year anniversary. Her funeral was a few days later. That was July 17. We were grateful that we were in a relatively relaxed quarantine period then. We were allowed to have 30% occupancy of the chapel. And there was a rule at that time that only immediate family members were allowed to attend a wake, but the barangay relaxed that for us because we told them, Sister Barbara doesn't have any immediate family members in the Philippines, but the Anuim community, every member of the Anuim community is part of her family. We're all the immediate family of Sister Barbara, so they said, okay. But we had to take turns. People had to take turns coming in and out of the chapel for her funeral. And then the cremation took place later that day. Then on the ninth day, we had a very simple mass and gathering. We concluded the traditional novena. But by the time we got to the 40th day, that was August 23rd, we were back in a strict quarantine again. We were at ECQ. No public masses were allowed. No public gatherings were allowed. So we didn't have very much for the 40th day. In fact, nobody was here, hardly. When we finally arranged the day for her burial, it was on the date of her 87th birthday. That was September 2nd. Again, public mass was still forbidden. I remember there were four people here in the chapel. That's why I started out by saying, isn't it nice to have a lot of people here? Because it wasn't like that a year ago. But for the day of her burial, there were four people in the chapel, but there were many people outside because that wasn't forbidden. It was only indoor gatherings that were forbidden at that time. And she was laid to rest. Her final resting place is right there in the grotto of Our Lady, right next to Father Francis. And so we come up to this last stage of the mourning process, the Babang Luksa, a day to gather, a day to pray for the dead, a day to visit the tomb. After this mass, we will visit her tomb and pray for her. Many people go there, by the way. Maybe you yourselves do. Go there to pray before Our Lady, pray with Father Francis, pray with Sister Barbara. It's a beautiful shrine there, place of prayer. Well, what can we say about this woman, Sister Barbara, who has had such an impact on the lives of so many people? I really didn't know what to say, but when I came downstairs and they had hung up the tarpaulin there on the gate, they had the text of the obituary. You should read it when you get a chance. You're going to reread it. And one of the lines there about Sister Barbara, I thought was a good summary. It says this. This is from her obituary. In her role as co-founder and spiritual mother of the community, she provided wise spiritual direction and practical guidance for hundreds of people. A gifted counselor, she was intuitive and decisive, strong and compassionate. Good summary. She was the co-founder of the Anuim community together with Father Francis. So literally none of us would be here if it were not for Sister Barbara. She was a spiritual mother and a spiritual guide, a holy woman, a strong leader, a gifted counselor. She used to tell us that when she was a young woman, she wanted to get married and have 20 children. And that she wanted to have 20 children so that she could lead all of them to heaven. Well, God had a different plan for her, as we know. In fact, God's plan was that she would have more than 20 children. Well, Sister Barbara was above all a faithful servant of God. That's what it says on the song sheet. A faithful servant of God. She was a beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. And she always wanted to share with everyone the special friendship that she had with Jesus, whom she met when she was a very young child. Today's gospel, then, seems especially fitting for this day, her first death anniversary, and it's fitting for anyone in Anuim to look to the word of the daily liturgy. In today's gospel, Jesus says something that Sister Barbara knew very well. She knew very deeply. Jesus says in this gospel, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. Come to me. Come to me." She heard this in her heart. She heard this repeatedly in her heart, and she wanted everyone else to hear it. So she would say, "You who are burdened, you who are overburdened, go to him, go to Jesus. Don't be afraid. He loves you. Trust him. Put the Lord first in your life. Go to him." The Lord says in the gospel here, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." I am meek and humble of heart. Why did Sister Barbara spend so many hours in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament? Because it was there in the Eucharist, or here in the Eucharist, that she could meet the one who calls us, "Come to me." She could meet the one who gives us the strength to bear the yoke of the Lord and to find joy in the yoke of Jesus. It was there that she could meet the meek and humble heart of Jesus in the Eucharist. And I think we can conclude with this thought. Sister Barbara, I'm sure, is urging us today to drop any other yoke, drop the yoke of sin, drop the yoke of self-centeredness, drop the yoke of sadness, of doubt, drop all the burdens that God never wanted us to carry in the first place, so that we can take up Jesus' yoke. We can learn from him, and learn his way of love. See, Sister Barbara certainly wants her lasting legacy to be not remembrance of her, but friendship with Jesus. Friendship with Jesus, our loving and merciful Savior. Amen.